you want us to hear tonight, Jesus. God, that it's not what we want to hear, but it's what you have for us, Lord. Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just give me the words to say, that you would lead me, and Lord, that it would be an encouraging word. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here tonight, and I just ask that you would be with us. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay, so you can be seated. Sorry, I feel like I got a little bit of a cold coming on or something. I'm not sure. So when Pastor asked me to come up and speak, there was about five main points that kind of came to mind. I don't have just one topic individual, but so I have five different things that have kind of been on my heart for the past, I don't know, 6 months or so. And I think that they're key topics and points to growth, and not just for myself, but I pray that tonight it's also helps you in some way, and not just individually, but as a church. My first topic would be forgiveness, and I think forgiveness can be, I would say this is probably one of the, out of the five, one of the most, maybe second most important, in my opinion. I'm going through the process to get my license through the local license to the UPC. And in one of the sessions, the pastor spoke about this, and I haven't been able to get it out of my mind. And it's just this one point, but he said it in Luke 17:3-5. It says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And Brother Jerome might remember this when they spoke about this during the session, but they talked about how powerful forgiveness, not necessarily how powerful forgiveness, but how hard it is to forgive, to give full forgiveness. And really, with the Lord's help, how powerful it can be to forgive. But you know, he said, Jesus sent the disciples out to do so many different things. At one point, he sent them out 2 by 2 to preach to many different nations. They had nothing. They just walked, and they stopped at houses, and they preached. And, when Jesus asked the disciples to go out and preach, you know, they were like, they just did it. You know, they didn't say, "Oh, Lord, we can't do that, da-da-da-da-da," or come up with excuses. But in this scripture here in Luke 17:3-5, that last scripture, number 5, it says, "The apostles said to the Lord, 'Increase our faith.'" And the point was is that they knew that was going to be really hard to do. So they're like, "Lord, we need your help. We need you to increase our faith because it is so hard to forgive." With forgiveness, and the more I thought about this, and I'm like, well, forgiveness is really something that holds us back from moving forward. we can't let go of the past to move forward, which is totally against God's will, because God wants us to move forward. So if we are holding on to that unforgiveness, it really hinders our walk and growth overall as a church body, especially if we have unforgiveness here among ourselves and not just, you know, outside these doors. So I thought forgiveness, I was like, yeah, forgiveness is, I mean, that's a really key point to growth and church growth. My second would be wisdom. So I was listening to the audio Bible driving down the road, and I was listening in 1 Kings, and it was talking about Solomon and, you know, how he's talking to God, and he's, you know, my father, you know, King David, he was so wise and, you know, and all this, and he's like, I'm not. And he prays for wisdom. And this is, I'm going to read 1 Kings 3. It's going to be a little lengthy here, so please bear with me. If you want to put it up on the screen, so it's 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole thing, so please stay tuned. And Solomon made infinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of the building of his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. And in Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercies, according as he, for him is great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as this day, a little child. I know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for a multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For God is able to judge. This is thy so great a people." And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. "Neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, but riches and honor, so that there shall be any among the kings like thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and commandments, so thy father David walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord offered up a burnt offerings. And the offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "O Lord, and this woman dwell in the house, and I was delivered a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together, and there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my own, or not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and the son is the dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is living. The king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the child into two, and the king, and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine or thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. I apologize, that was lengthy. I find that passage is so powerful. I mean, first off, you have not because you ask not. King Solomon asked God for wisdom, and God was pleased with him. But as this came to my mind, the more I thought about it, I was like, God, I want to do your will. So I started praying for wisdom. And the definition of wisdom, it would be like the Bible's definition, is the practical ability to judge what is right, true, and lasting, to live life skillfully, and that's from God's perspective. But I've been praying, God, give me wisdom. And especially how I interact with people. Give me wisdom to lead my family. You know, I believe that there's power in the tongue. There's power in words that we speak. We don't know what someone is going through. We have no idea. I have no idea what Brother Kenny went through today. My words could affect him the rest of the week by what I say. So I think really my point to hit home with wisdom is that we really seek God out when we are speaking to people. I want to lift others up. I want to encourage others. When someone comes to you for advice, because pastor may be the senior pastor, but people are going to come to us. We also have to help him and assist him with church work. It's not just pastor doing everything. And people are going to come to you for advice. They're going to come to you for guidance. And we have to be prayed up. We have to speak with wisdom, and really, we have to be so full of prayer and God's word to know how to lead others and encourage them. So that would be my second. My third is selfless/Christ-like. So maybe I have six. This one we're going to put together. Serving others and not yourself. I'm going to read a little bit here in my notes. I truly feel if we can get our wants and desires out of the picture and allow God to work, we could see so much more growth. I feel like we focus too much on what we want. And really where this idea came from, I was thinking of like overall as our church moving forward and as we expand, the little things that we get caught up on, but it's the big picture. What's the end result? It's loving people and seeing souls saved. We want to see people make it to heaven. That's the ultimate goal. And I feel like we get caught up so much in the little things, the little details. And I'm not saying that the little details don't matter. They do matter, but not that we lose all the focus on that. I feel like if we see the big picture, we see the souls that are out there to be saved, God will come in and provide the rest if we focus on the most important thing, and that's winning souls. Jesus, that's all Jesus was about. Jesus was selfless. He walked this earth for roughly 33 years, and it was all about winning souls. It was all about winning the loss. It was all selfless work. I'm going to read this passage of scripture here. This is Luke 2, and this is where it talks about when Jesus is preaching. He's like 12 years old. So it's Luke 2, 40 through 52. It says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that they heard him were astonished at this understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that must be about my father's business? And they understood not, saying which he spoke unto them. And when he went down with them and came to Nazareth, it was a subject unto them. But his mother kept these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man." So we are called to be Christ-like. Like I said, Jesus walked this earth for 33 years, and he was all about doing his father's business. And I just, at 12 years old, preaching, I just love it. It's a great example to all of us. We are to be busy doing the Lord's work and following Christ's example. My next topic would be prayer and fasting. I don't really have a whole lot on this, but I feel in my heart, and nothing that I say, I don't want it to be sound mean or come off that way at all, and I'm preaching to myself here, is prayer and fasting, I believe it's the very small thing that us Christians should be doing on a regular basis. Now, it's not small at all. It's actually a powerful tool that we have, that the Lord has given us. Prayer, like Madeline was talking about, listening to God and praying, it's our connection to hear from God. It's our connection to talk, to listen from the Lord, to ask Him for things. And I feel like if we can't get down prayer and fasting, that's the little things. How can God trust us with anything more? It's very small. It's very easy to do. Prayer is very easy to do. Fasting, you can work yourself up to it. You got to start somewhere, though, right? You could fast maybe one energy drink, yeah, right? You could start there. Or you could fast one cup of coffee, you know. Okay. I'm just throwing that out there, all right? For God to be able to trust us in the big, we have to be able to perfect the little. My next topic, and this I feel is the most important topic tonight, and that is the anointing and the covering in your life. And like I said, I feel like all of these are so important to growth. So I may have already spoke about this before the last time I was speaking, but I was never really taught about covering or anything, you know, of that sort. You know, not from a previous pastor or not even really from my mom or dad. And that's nothing bad against them at all. But I was never taught that. You know, I started coming to this church, and pastor preaches that from the pulpit. And you see it in his life. Pastor has a covering. And the more and more that I hear it preached and I see it, and I believe it with all my heart. I've said this before, but I believe that there's a security that you feel when you have a covering over your life. Someone to be accountable to. Someone to say, hey, you're out of line. You know, too much in this world today, nobody wants to be told they're out of line. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want a covering over their life. They want to just be free to do whatever they want. But I really do feel like this is a very important topic. And in my own life, I love it. I love having a covering, and I pray that nothing ever comes between Pastor and I to where I would not receive those words from him when needed. Something that this was just kind of a thought that came into my mind, but I think too much today we listen to other voices outside of the church, maybe even in your family, the case may be. It could be somebody here in this congregation. Not saying any of you are bad, but sometimes we spat out the mouth. So it doesn't take much for a little word to creep in to cause division. Yeah, Brother Jerome knows what I'm talking about. Not that you, yeah, you got me. It doesn't take much that people, you know, be like, what? Are you serious? Like, you let your pastor know that you're not going to be there tonight? That's what? You're 29 years old. Is that close? Close. You're 29 years old. You're 38 years old. What do you mean you ask for, you know, guidance, or you let them know when you're not going to be there? Yeah, I do that. But it only takes those little words to start that thought in your head. Well, they're like, why do I do that? I guess nobody else does that. So we have to be careful who we allow to speak into our life. Honestly, our guard always has to be up for people that are trying to speak a word into you if it is not your pastor. So I have a little side note here. You know, King Saul had a covering in his life. His covering in his life was Samuel. Samuel was the direct contact with God. So I look at Samuel as the pastor, the covering over King Saul. King Saul disobeyed the words of Samuel, and it led to really utter destruction for his life and utter torment. He lost his anointing. He lost the kingdom, and it fell apart. And God provided someone else to take his place. And that's where King David comes with the anointing. And I don't want to be known as the person that falls away, that loses their covering, you know, in their life. I want to be a part of church growth. I would want to be known as someone who lives and breathes God, who leads his family, who's an example to all of you. And I want to see the new addition. I want to see 300 people in that new sanctuary. And we will see that. I want to leave that for the next generation as well. We can't just build all this up in 300 and then, okay, here you go. So we have to lead. We have to lead our children. And I want to be a part of the solution and part of church growth. Brother Jerome, I'm going to ask you if you can come up and play. If you could just stand with me. And I pray something that I said tonight was encouraging to you. I didn't want to come off mean in any way. These topics really spoke to my life, and I hope that it encourages you in some way, or at least get your mind turning. That my ultimate goal. Where can I be better? Where can I increase my faith? And so I encourage you to pray about it. And if you would like to join me tonight at the altar, you're welcome to come up. We're going to sing a song, and we'll be dismissed. And I thank you for your attendance and your response. So if you could just lift your hand, we're going to pray as we, right before we sing here tonight. Lord Jesus, God, I just thank you, Lord, first off, for just giving us this wonderful building, Lord, that we can gather here. Lord, that we can freely sing worship songs, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we can open your word. Lord, that we can encourage one another. Lord, that we can bring people into and that they can feel safe, Lord. Lord, I pray that each of us tonight, Lord, would just take an evaluation of our own life, Lord, and where we can be better, Lord Jesus, where we can challenge ourselves, Lord, in multiple ways, Lord Jesus, that we can be part of church growth, Lord, and not part of pulling each other down, Lord. But God, I ask you would be with us tonight, Lord, that you would help us. And Lord, as we just lift our voices to you tonight, Jesus, I pray that you would be with us. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Oh, God, we need you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and all the earth rejoice, and all the earth rejoice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all you see, how great is our God. Let's just sing that chorus again. How great and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. In his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, he is one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb, oh, how great and how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Name above all
You're welcome to stay and praise you as long as you like, and we're going to put something on in the back. So if you could just join me as we close tonight. Lord, I just thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that the Spirit has been stirred a little bit, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. For everyone that's here tonight, Lord, I pray once again for those who are sick. I pray that you would be with them, Lord, and restore their bodies, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would just be with us as we dismiss, and we just thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.